Well, it's Friday. Many people think this is the beginning of the weekend.
That's right.
And it's time to go to the movies. Our movie guy, Paul Preston from the movieguys.net, joins us live now to talk about what he liked in 2011.
Now, we recently talked about some of your favorites, Paul, including The Artist and The Descendants and The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. But there are movies you like this year that we haven't had a chance to talk about. And let's start with one that people call, you know, interestingly, kind of a cancer comedy.
A tumor?
Yes.
Me?
Yes.
Hey, that doesn't make any sense, though. I mean, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I recycle.
So, 50-50, what'd you think?
Well, you know, if you stop the average guy in the street and ask him if he likes Seth Rogen, 50-50 is about the chance you're going to get of someone liking him. I love Seth Rogen. I think he's been nothing but hilarious for about 6 years, and this is probably the best film he's been in yet. And as you said, the funniest movie you're going to see about cancer. The great thing about Rogan is he wrote this, and he wrote The Green Hornet, too, which I also like, not as much as this. Green Hornet's just goofy fun, but the guy knows how to write for himself. He didn't ask too much of himself as an action hero, and he doesn't ask too much of himself here dramatically. He's kind of the funny guy, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Angelica Houston, and other actors, Bryce Dallas Howard, take up the drama of Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character going through what it's like to have cancer, but kind of told from the slacker perspective, from young guys who don't really know how to handle something this big going on in somebody's life. But in the end, it has real heart. Great film.
All right. Well, let's go to The Moneyball. This is another movie that's been well received.
There are rich teams and there are poor teams. Then there's 50 feet of crap. And then there's us.
That's a dollar, man.
What?
Welcome to Oakland.
Okay.
Is this on the money?
Out here in L.A., I've been an Angels fan for a long, long time. And you guys, what, Rangers fans? Astros fans?
Astros.
We'd be run out of town if we said otherwise.
Even if it wasn't true.
Okay, I get that. Same here with Angels and Dodgers a lot of times. Either way, it seems like all of us are fighting against the Yankees. And so if you're in that pool, man, you're going to love this movie. It's all about Billy Beane trying to do what he can with what he has to fight the big money teams in baseball. But it's written by Aaron Sorkin, who wrote The Social Network and, you know, all those years of The West Wing. And he handles it with great dialogue and a great lead performance by Brad Pitt, who continues to choose smart projects. He can appear in a great indie just as much as a big-time, commercial, huge Hollywood movie, and he always delivers, and he does here as well.
All right, this one. Is a Woody Allen movie. He's still directing?
This guy is super prolific. Even in his 70s, he puts out a movie about every year. So actually, what can get lost in the shuffle is when he makes a really good one, because sometimes his comedies will just be some, you know, lightweight comedy that doesn't mean much. But Midnight in Paris is different. There's something in this for every Woody Allen fan. Even if you've only seen one of his movies, there's something in this you're going to like, because it lightly combines the heady literary references that he loves and his recent passion for Europe with the downright goofy stuff that populated his early movies like Sleeper and Love and Death and that kind of stuff. So Owen Wilson's totally charming here. He plays a Hollywood writer working on a novel, ends up in Paris, and at midnight, he just happens to be in the right place for a car to pick him up and take him back to the 1920s, where he meets Fitzgerald and Hemingway, even Salvador Dali. Sounds wacky. It is wacky. He can't explain it to his fiance and his other folks in his life when he comes back to present time every night. And that makes for a bunch of hilarity, plus all of the references and top-notch filmmaking throughout, as Woody has been bringing to the table with everything he's done in the last 20 years or so.
And I know that one of the praises sung for Midnight in Paris is the beautiful way it was shot. Anyway, let's move on to The Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Does it work like we predicted?
With one exception. The drug has radically boosted brain functioning.
You mean increased intelligence?
Yeah, this isn't one that you see on a lot of best of lists, Paul.
Well, you know, the main thing about this movie was the surprise. I'm tired of origin movies. We're going to have another Spider-Man movie where we find out how he became Spider-Man. We know that. Let's just have Spider-Man have adventures. I'm tired of CGI characters that look all rubbery and fake, but this movie surprised me in delivering both of those things at a high level. The story of how the apes took over the world, I found myself rooting for the apes towards the end of the movie. And the CGI characters look great. Andy Serkis, you might have heard about how great he is from King Kong to Gollum. He's fantastic in here and legitimately puts himself in a place for a Best Actor nomination for playing a CGI character where you don't even see Andy Serkis and you don't even hear him like you do in Tintin. He's just the ape, Caesar. But by the end of the film, he's the best actor in it.
All right, Paul, before we leave, very quickly, which one was your favorite?
Well, we got to go back to the three you mentioned before. Number one for me of the year is The Artist, and number two is The Descendants. We talked about both those earlier. And don't miss The Girl with Dragon Tattoo if you get the chance.
And by the way, The Artist and The Descendants, at least last time I drove by, are both playing at the River Oaks Theater. So you can stop in and see them.
Check them out.
Now's the time of year. Arty films will get a wider release.
Thank you so very much, Paul Preston.
It's time to go to the movies. Or not. This week we're going to talk about the worst offerings from Hollywood over the last year, and they're pretty bad. Our movie guy, Paul Preston from themovieguys.net, joins us live now. And you sent me in advance a list of movies that made your worst of. And at the top...
Behold! In despair!
You are in deep despair over the remake of Conan the Barbarian.
I could talk about Shark Knight or Bucky Larson or those really bad films that I didn't or no one saw. But Conan the Barbarian was a big summer release, and it just did not live up. You know, it tells the story of legendary Conan the Sumerian, a sword-slinging warrior, was feared by no one till he changed his last name to The Barbarian. And I had to look up a bunch of paper. I had to figure out, what is this movie about? Because I completely forgot. It went totally out of my head. It's an overdone adventure in the like of Clash of the Titans, if you saw that remake.
Oh, so bad.
You know, they less is more. These guys think more is better. It is not. And the 3D here, as ever, annoying and unnecessary. But Jason Momoa, who plays Conan, is good, and he's good on Game of Thrones. I mean, he's just in a really bad movie. You know, he's sharp, durable, articulate, and thus he'll never be governor of California. That's a silver lining for me.
There you go. Okay, and this is another one that you hated.
You shouldn't be teaching. I mean, I can't think of anyone less suited to being a teacher.
I don't need a blackboard or a classroom to set an example. So stupid.
What?! Cameron Diaz, and oh, I love me some Justin Timberlake. Not good?
Well, you know, something about Justin Timberlake, everyone's ready to hate him, and he's always good. You know, The Social Network, he was really good, and you wanted to hate him, but he's good, and then you just get mad at yourself. Unfortunately, here he's in a bad movie. Not a single joke in this film works. The relationships are stock and forced, and so you can't even get involved in, like, the human element like you could in something like 40-Year-Old Virgin, or something that brought warmth and heart to it underneath all that craziness. So if the jokes and the relationships aren't working, you're just not entertained at all. It seemed like they said, hey, we got nothing. Let's be shocking and swear a lot. And that's what you're left with, unfortunately.
Well, lesson learned that bad teacher is just bad.
All right.
All right, let's go to this next one.
Is it true what they say about priests? You wield the hand of God.
An action movie about a priest. Not so good.
Indeed. If you weren't interested in cowboys and aliens, well, here comes Clergy versus Vampires, because that's what the nation is clamoring for. I think this film had the original title, Because Why Not? And because it's a movie, it's in 3D, and Paul Bettany stars as a priest. It's basically the searchers in some sort of post-apocalyptic future where he has to find his niece, who is captured by these vampires, who supposedly are this horrible race of monsters in the future, need to be put down by these priests. It's kind of strange, but Paul Bettany's a great actor. I don't know why he keeps demanding he be in action films. It's kind of a strange attempt to switch genres, since like Eddie Murphy became a family movie guy. You know, neither of those things really worked, and it's time to rethink.
All right. Hangover, the original one, made a lot of money, and of course, when a movie does that, the producers immediately make a sequel. So here's Hangover 2.
Where are we?
You're going to freak out, but it's going to be okay.
What's, is it my teeth?
This is a real tattoo!
Alan, what did you do? Did you roofie me?
I didn't do anything.
No!
Put some monkey.
Yeah, if your movie's real bad, just add some monkeys.
The latest from If It Ain't Broke, Don't Fix It Studios. You know, it might be fun to revisit the exact same story arc as the original film if the characters were likable. But these guys just, the first movie, I really rooted for them. This time, they're just a bunch of jerks. I really can't root for these guys in anything they're doing in this film. And, you know, I think even Mel Gibson was supposed to be in it at some point. But Zach Galifianakis said, you know, hey, I don't want to work with a guy who's said such damaging and sexist things about women. Oh, also appearing in The Hangover Part 2, convicted rapist Mike Tyson.
So yeah. There you go.
The guy that also bit the other boxer's ear off.
Yeah, that's who you want starring in your movie. You know, I didn't see this next one, but I did see the first one. I thought it was fantastic, so I can't wait to hear why this one was terrible.
Jack Sparrow was in London, hell-bent to find the Fountain of Youth.
Don't be a fool, Jackie. The fountain will test you.
Was that really necessary?
I guess this wasn't really necessary.
As Pirates of the Caribbean and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, the fourth time is definitely not the charm. It's interminably long, again, even though it's the shortest of the three sequels to the original, which was a fantastic movie. You are right, the original Pirates of the Caribbean was just great. Somewhere along the way, though, they just got repetitive with their action. Their characters love to argue about things you don't care about. In the first two, it was like, who's the captain of the ship? I'm the captain of the ship. And they would argue about this, and meanwhile, you stop caring. For this one, I can't even remember what they were arguing about, so it's doubly bad.
Right, so Walk the Plank, that's a bad one.
Yet.
That's a bad one. Walk the Plank. All right, Paul, we're out of time, but since you gave us all these as your choices as some of the worst, very quickly, which one was the worst of all?
I think I got to go with, just because of sheer size and spectacle and how it was supposed to be great, The Hangover Part 2, really disappointed.
Wow. All right. We will not rent any of these. Thank you for the heads up. That is our movie guy, Paul Preston, joining us live. He's at themovieguys.net.
Well, Bonnie, I actually got The Hangover Part 2 for Christmas, so I still haven't seen it, but I'm going to go check it out.
I'm so sorry,
that's
Mike.
That's all right. It's 3:19 at News 92 FM.